Genesis chapter number 3, verses 6 through 9. Get back in the game. I'm sure if someone were to say to you that life is a game, you'll have second thoughts about that. What's funny? Where's the game in my pain? What I'm going through, my situations, my circumstances. I wouldn't call that a game at all. God has a way of allowing us to go through some things. And as we begin to go through things, God sometimes won't change what you're going through. He'll simply change the way that you look at it.
All right.
What happens to you is not as important as the changes that it bring about. So we have to go through some things in life in order to grow.
All right.
In the midst of going through some things, we tend to take things and make things personal. And the truth of the matter is that if you belong to God, God sent you through the storm. The storm really has nothing to do with you. So why are you taking it personal? It's not your battle. It belongs to the Lord. Why are you taking it personal? Because somebody don't like you, because you have character. Why do you take it personal? It's not even about you. So if it's not about you, then maybe you can understand life as a game. Now, Webster kind of defined game as competition between two or more people in which they are doing an activity for themselves or spectators. So, follow me. What you're going through, if it's not about you, it's because God is trying to use you so that somebody else can see the God in you, so that they can give glory to the God that you serve. And so here it is, you begin to go through something. And as you begin to go through something, and you understand that you are a vessel of God, and that because you are a vessel, the vessel has the responsibility of allowing something to be poured through it. And so God is pouring through you His anointing. And it doesn't feel good, doesn't look good, and you really can't take it because the body is not designed for the pure anointing of God. And so God has to grace us for a season just so we can show His anointing. That's why you have to be careful, because sometimes God will anoint you to do something, but only for a season. Samson, strong, mighty, but only for a season. You see, sometimes we are so disconnected from God, we're doing something out of our season. When you are out of your season, out of place, you have to do it all by yourself. When God called you, God sent you somewhere. When God sent you a place, He equipped everything that you would need to make it.
That's right.
So if God has already made provision before you put your feet into motion, you don't have to worry about getting there. That's already done.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, you had victory before you got started.
Yes.
But in order for you to cross the line, it takes faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. This is what I desire.
Yes.
But I don't see it right now.
All right.
The toughest place something, but he has not moved you from where you are.
Uh-huh. All right, ma'am.
So you try to do it because I saw the vision. And let me rush God. Let me hurry up and get this thing. And so quite often we move trying to get ahead of God instead of waiting on the Lord. When you wait on God, your path is already carved out. But we have to move ahead of God. When we try to move ahead of God, I believe God sometimes just sat back and said, hey, let me watch this. This is going to be funny to me.
That's right. That's right.
And so here we are just going. We got plan. We got a vision. We got everything but God's approval.
That's right.
But we're busy. We're moving. But we're not getting any place.
Okay.
See, you really have to allow God to walk you through life.
Yes.
You have to understand that before you get started, everything is already in place.
Mm.
And so here comes Adam and Eve.
Mm.
Adam and Eve is really our mom and dad. Because
mm-hmm.
we do crazy just like them. Adam, one day, God says, let me create the heaven and the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And he spoke something out of nothing. That's creation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Nothing existed. And he said, let it be. And it was.
Yeah.
God created that.
That's right.
And so he created the heavens and the earth and the moon and the water and everything that we need to survive.
That's right.
He put everything there.
Yeah.
And then when he looked around and saw everything was already there,
yeah.
he says, I need somebody to work this garden
yeah.
for me.
Yeah.
He reached down, grabbed dirt,
mm-hmm.
and says, let me make
yeah.
a man.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Notice what you're made of.
All right, now. Okay.
Dirt.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. So not much to us.
Uh-huh.
Not much to us.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, God is saying, if you put it in my hand, I'll do the supernatural with it. If you put your little paycheck in my hand, I'll do the supernatural with it. If you put your little relationship in my hand, I'll do the supernatural with it. If you put your child in my hand, I'll do the supernatural with it. It may not look like a lot to your neighbor, but in the hand of God, God can do some awesome things with just a little. So he takes Adam and he makes this man and he takes him and then he breathes into Adam's nose. When he breathed into Adam, Adam came alive.
That's right.
He gave Adam life.
Yes.
He gave Adam life.
Yes.
They may not like you, but they can't take your life until God check off on that. They may want to stop you, but they can't stop you until God says it is finished in your life. That's why you keep on going against all obstacles. That's why you keep pressing through and everything is against you. You know what I learned in life? When you anoint it, the odds will always be against you. But you don't count stuff. As long as God is on your side, don't count it. Don't worry about the numbers. Because my faith plus God equals victory every single time. So here's Adam. He says, Adam, I need for you to take care of this garden. Now, listen.
Alright.
No Eve, just Adam. When God created him, everything he needed was already there.
Yes, Lord. Yes, yes.
ladies.
All right, now.
When he says, will you marry me? Everything needs to already be there.
All right, now.
All right. All right.
Okay. They fooled you when they told you, we put ours together and we can make it, baby. That's not what the Bible says. No. See, that's the problem that we have. It's because we put it together. When you put it together, then you think when you leave, you're entitled to take half. Trust me.
All right, now.
Listen. What God says is for the man to make provision so that when she comes, it's already there. It's already there. And so here it is, she comes, but she has to bring half. And so you wonder why she don't respect you. Because you're not being the man that God called you to be. Don't get married because you need somebody's ass. Get married because I love you. Get married because of hell or high water. I'm not going anywhere. Get married. If you get sick, I got you, baby. The doctor may walk out, but I'm right here. Get married because you prayed together and God says you move forward. It seems like we will have a lot. That's not what God is calling us to do.
That's right.
See, a father is about provision and protection.
That's right. That's right.
Notice how God treats the first man, Adam, and he's showing us how we are to live our lives.
That's right.
If you ever want to know what God meant, always go back to the first time he said it and or did it. He'll always explain it. And so here it is, he walks with Adam. He creates Adam. When he creates Adam, he says, Adam, provision is already there. Everything you need is already there. He says, all I need for you to do is take care of it.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, I want you to even name it. What you call it
is what it is. That's right. That's right.
If you call it a B.I., you know what?
That's what it is. That's right.
And you married.
All right, guys.
What does that make you? You want to call her names. What does that say about you who chose her? If you don't like who God is placing in your life, tell God to stop with the vision.
All right.
Tell her to just want to teach. Is in the garden. As Adam is in the garden, everything he needs is already there.
Yes.
He says, God says to Adam, you name it.
You name it.
Whatever you call it, that's what it is.
Yes.
Listen to me. Whatever you say about your situations and circumstances, that's what it is. If you call it trouble, you're going to treat it like it's trouble. If you call it like an opportunity, you're going to treat it like it's an opportunity. Whatever you call something is what it becomes, because that's how you deal with it. You got to learn that when something happens, you may not like it, but one thing I do know is all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and is called according to his purpose. One thing I do know, I may not like what I'm going through, but God is up to something right now. So I need to call this mess a blessing, because God is setting me up somehow. Somehow God is going to show himself. It may not look good right now, but baby, I'm coming out of this thing one day with the man. made everything. God looked around and said, it is not good for you to be alone.
All right, Jesus.
Well, I got a career, and I don't need to be married.
All right, now.
Because I can make it by myself.
All right, now.
And I say to you, you are absolutely right. You don't need to be married. You don't need to wreck somebody's life
right
with
now.
Your crazy self. You're absolutely correct. Somebody to help you to meet the vision and the plan that I have for you. Eve's not here yet. She's still not here. Okay. God is dealing with the man before she comes along. So that when she gets here, everything is already at home.
That's right.
Ladies, when you marry a man, you get married, walk in the house, and everything is already there. That's God at work in your life. Now, you may not like the brown carpet, may want white, but it's carpet on the floor. At least he invested the money in a house and not in some 20s. I'm trying to do it with humor, but I'm serious. I'm helping somebody. And so here, Adam in the garden names everything, and now God says, you need somebody to help you to pull this thing off. To help you to pull the thing off. And so in other words, God set everything up for Adam, gives him a vision, gives him a calling, gives him a job. Uh-oh. You mean the man got to work? Adam has a job already.
Yeah.
Well, baby, you make enough for both of us. No. Then let her keep on making enough for her until you get yourself together.
That's right.
Then you come along.
That's right.
See, because she's supposed to stay with mom and dad until your life reflects the lifestyle mom and dad gave her, so that when she leaves mom and dad's house, walk in your house, no change, baby.
That's,
that's what marriage is supposed to look like.
That's right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Have mercy.
I'm really helping somebody.
You are.
I'm serious.
You are.
But we look at stuff and we say, she's fine. How long?
Okay.
All right now.
Because she's driving down the street. She's in an accident. And now she's paralyzed. And you don't see what you used to see. Are you still going to stand by her side? Because one day she had a great job, now the job is gone. She makes no money, 5 kids. Are you still going to stand right there? Are you still going to stay in the game? Or are you going to walk away? Sometimes the grass that's on the outside really isn't grass. Sometimes somebody spray painted it. It just looks good. So God says, I'm going to place someone in your life. And so now God says, you need somebody. He reaches in the side of Adam. This is the side. Not back here. Not up here. He reaches in the side. And he pulls from him a rib. And he says, now this is bone.
Yes.
In other words, I'm tying you together. Where there was two, Now there is one. And so every step you take, she's by your side. She's not a dog where you're saying, come on. And she's not your husband where you're saying, show me. She's by your side. If you have no vision, she has no vision. And so it's left up to you to pray, ask God, what do you want me to do for my family? And then that's the thing that you have to do. Now, he may get out of her mind sometimes.
Yeah, we do. All right now.
No, we do.
That's right.
But you keep walking. So, now Eve comes on the scene. When Eve comes on the scene, everything is already there.
Yes, yes.
All she has to bring is the quilt that her mother showed her how to sew.
That's right.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it. She needs to take care of the inside of the house.
Yes.
That's all she needs to do.
That's right.
Let me switch this and talk about finances. If we can budget ourselves and live off his income, put hers away, you don't have to work till you're 72.
All right, now.
I just want to let it.
Amen.
And hers aside is not shoes, baby. And hers aside is not hair only. Hers aside is investing it. It's putting it to work. That's hers aside. And so when Eve comes, everything is already there. And so here they are just chilling. God gives some instructions of the tree. Good and evil.
Yes.
Now, you can have this one all you want, but don't touch that. And we say, I wonder what's over there. That's just the way we do. And so Adam is being about Adam. Adam goes to work. When he goes to work, Eve is having a conversation with Satan. Come here, Jeff. Come here, sweet. You just stand right there. Because you look like you used to have game before Karen. And so, I hope you can get in the house. And so here's Satan just having a conversation with Eve. So he's over here with his Mac Daddy game on. Even though she already heard it, she's going to fall for it. And so here's Satan saying, baby, you know I can lay some pipe. And she's saying, but what about the paycheck? And Jeff said, don't worry about that. Because Jeff, you smooth. But what she's looking for is not smoothness. What she's looking for is security in you. That if something happens to her, the bills are still paid. That's what she's looking for. She needs to know that you're a man of character and integrity. And so even though you cool, she needs to make sure you got good credit too, Jeff. Adam leaves, and there it is. His wife listening to another man. Sinful. Sweet nothings. But Jeff has a line for everything. And so they're over there talking. And so Adam comes home. When Adam comes home, he looks and he sees what's going on. And he's still solid. He doesn't say, what's going on? He said, oh, they're just friends. It's always the friends.
Oh, all right. All right.
Because I gave you a key. I trusted you. I let you in my garden. I let you in my house. And because I allowed even know your way around the house and know your way around E2. Because you've been watching that. Remember, at this time, Eve and Adam, they're blind. But Satan can see.
Yes.
He's been scoping that thing out. I like what I see. She's so blind, she doesn't realize that she is a target. She thinks, oh, that's just my gay friend. You missed it. You missed it. That's just my gay friend. We don't talk like that. Right, you're not talking at all. So one day, Adam comes home. Eve is playing with the fruit. And so she has the little fruit. And so, because I don't know if it was an apple or an orange or a tangerine or a doesn't matter. She's sitting over there, she's playing with it. Adam is silent when he should have been speaking up for his house. But he's just there. Men, there are too many of us that are silent in our homes.
All right.
There is too many of us. We are afraid to say something because it may make her mad. I don't care if she get mad. I don't care. Because when God comes, he's coming for who?
You.
Adam. So here's Eve. She's just playing with it. And so Adam is silent. Eve then, the Bible says, she then bites the apple and gave. Remember I told you that? It shows continuous movement. So as soon as she bit it, then she gave it to Adam, and he was crazy enough to bite the same fruit. And so notice this. When she bit the fruit, nothing happened.
That book you better teach.
Do you hear it?
Yeah.
Nothing happened.
Right.
She did it. The woman that you gave me, she did it. And nothing happened. Didn't even move God.
That's right.
But when Adam,
that's it.
Adam got it.
Yeah.
And he bit into it. God showed up.
Yeah.
I want to know who just shattered my heart. Nothing happened. Soon as Adam bit into her, God showed up. They hurt.
Yeah.
In the cool of the day. They hurt. God showed up. And God says, Adam, where are thou? Brothers. Our white kids are going to prison like you used to strive to go to college. They are building more prisons to house
ours
than they are building universities. I'm talking about ours. The unemployment rate may be 8 point something in Columbus overall. But for you, it's nearly 20%. See, because as a child, somebody says, it's okay, you can steal the car, nothing is going to happen. And then BJ gets involved, and once he gets involved, then the court system have to do what the court system. Now, BJ is bad because BJ put your child in jail, but BJ is not the problem. You distract adopted. The problem is that you did not train up your child the way that your child was shown. So when your child is old, your child will not depart. That's not on him. That's on you. You have that responsibility to train up your child. She has to work two jobs. Come home, cook, take care of the child. And every Father's Day, there you go in your 20s driving by. Want to be a dad on Father's Day only. Where are you, Adam? This is what I'm going to talk about. Where are you? Where are you when you can lay down and make one, but you can't hang around to take care of one? Where are you? I told you it was going to get kind of nasty. Where are you, Adam? My brothers, where are you? When you can say, okay, I got a plan. And the plan is that I'm going to take a vacation, going to go this and do this. But you have no plan for your family. You have nothing set aside for your child. Where are you? When you're taking all that you have, investing in hairstyles and dinner shoes and rims and speakers and paint jobs on the car, and you have not a quarter set aside for the next generation, where are you? Do you realize that for the first time in history, the generation today is expected to do less than your generation because we have fallen short? That's what I want to talk about. Where are you at? Because the truth of the matter is, we say that people won't allow us to be a man. You can't stop me from being a man. There's nothing you can do. Don't talk about it. Listen. Your system is going to hold me down. Hell system, hold me down. I'm a child of God. I'm a blood-washed believer. Can't nobody hold me down. You can't handle what God has placed inside of me. Where are you, Adam? Where are you? You disappeared. What happened, Adam? So God comes, and God says, Adam, where are you? And the Bible declares, says now, Adam and Eve, they get an apron, and they wrap it around themselves, because they realize that they're naked. Listen, the Word of God should always make us feel naked. That when you come into the presence of the Lord, He knows your ups, your downs, your ins, your outs. He sees straight through your day. And you see, that's why some of us guys, we decide that, no, I'm not going to deal with that type of woman. She got too much education. She makes too much. It's because game peeked you out. Because game recognized game, and you can't get over on that type of woman. So you move on to Ray-Ray them down the street, where you can give Ray-Ray $15 and everything is cool while she on government assistance. Now, ain't nothing government assistance. If that's where you gotta be for a moment, be there. But don't live there. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the God who said, I'll supply all of your needs. We may stop right there, but you gotta keep on pushing. You gotta keep on praying. You gotta keep on believing. But He's looking for that type of woman. And you keep running right there, about to lose your mind. I wonder why nobody wants me. I wonder why I can't get married. Baby, ain't nothing wrong with you. He's just a no good man. Keep on going. You think something wrong with you? Because I'm 30 and my time running out. I'm 40 and my time running out. That just means I'm going to hurt somebody soon when I meet him later. Because I got a whole lot to break. Let me finish. In life, we all things. We do a lot of stuff. And as I said earlier, guys, we have to relate to stuff on a level we can comprehend.
Yeah.
We're really not smart. We just know how to go out, hunt, hit, and come on back.
All right, guys.
Jeff, hit something over the head and come on back home with the food, Jeff. What are you thinking about, man?
All right, yeah.
So watch this, guys. We're playing baseball.
Yeah.
Life throws a curve. We can't hit it. We swing. One, two, and we strike out.
All right, now.
Baseball. Football. We cross the line a little too fast. We're offside. Basketball. We're going down, and we touch out of bounds, and we can't make it back, and we get the ball right out. Hockey. You do the wrong thing, you go into the penalty box. Watch this. You're still a part of the team.
Uh-huh. All right, man. All right.
Even though you may not be in the game right then.
Yeah.
Listen, brothers. Maybe you've fallen short.
Uh-huh.
But you're still a part of the team. The God that you serve is a God of a second chance. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they messed it up. They knocked us out of bounds. Sin came in. But in a garden called Gethsemane, Jesus says, I'll come to this garden and fix what happened over there. Are you with me? I'm talking to someone. I'm saying you haven't been there for your child, but he's a God of a second chance.
Fix
it. You're still in the game. Because you're still a part of the team. What you have to understand is what you're fighting for. What you have to understand is what the game is all about. Game, G-A-M-E, game. One, G. Always understand God is in the game and He is in control.
Yeah.
Game. Life is a game. God is in the game, and He is in control. So whatever happens, He allowed it. I may not like it, but He allowed it. He must be up to something. Because if God want to take me out, He doesn't need a situation to take me out. I just don't wake up. But because I woke up, He's giving me another chance. And because He's giving me another chance, I can fix the wrong through the grace of God. I'm still in the game. I'm still a part of the team. But because I'm a part of the team A, I have an adversary. He's called Satan. He's in the game as well. And so every time God does something, He always try to mimic what God is doing.
Uh-huh.
He wants you to believe that He can do all things as well. And so you have to realize that we have an adversary. The problem that a lot of us have is that we think Satan is somewhere in a red dress with a pitchfork somewhere in the corner. That's not him. He looks like the person to your left and to your right. Don't look. You said it. That's what it looks like. There's an adversary. And how Satan moves through an antichrist against Christ. He moves in a system. It's not one person or one thing. It's a whole bunch of stuff going on at the same time. And so if it's this, then it's that, and then it's this, and it's that. But remember, God is still in the game, and God is in control. So all of that stuff that the adversary is doing is just distractions. God is still in control.
Thank you.
God is still in control.
Yeah.
And so the M is for me to understand the mission. I'm over here fighting Jeff. And this is a battle that is not worth fighting.
All right.
Because the war is for my child over there.
Yeah.
I don't care if his car looks better than mine. I don't care if he lives in one subdivision and I live somewhere else. That's not it. That's not important. The mission is my child.
Yeah.
Amen.
We got to stay focused.
Thanks.
We got to stay focused. And the E is for us to be enthused through the process and expect victory at the end.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I'm going through something. Satan, I don't know where you're going to hit me.
All right.
I don't know when you're going to throw the first punch. But what I do know, when all of this is over, I'm still going to be a blessed child of God. I don't know how I'm coming out, but one thing I do know is that God is going to see me through. And I know as well that where I'm coming from, when I get to my place of grace, I won't look like where I've been. I won't smell like where I've been. I won't desire what I used to desire. Because God is bringing you out of this thing. I'm talking to somebody this morning in closing. You going through hell this morning. But God is bringing you out of this thing. You got to stay encouraged. You got to keep the good fight. You got to hold on to God's unchanging hands. I know you want to quit. I know you see no help coming soon. But all of your help comes from the Lord. Just hold on just a little while longer. Because I'm a living witness that God will show up. I'm a living witness that God will see you through. Have you ever been going through something? You're a witness that God will see you through. Have you ever tried God, tested God? Have you ever been going through something? Down on your last dollar. Won't God show up? Won't God make a way out of no way? When you're all alone, won't God be a friend? I need to talk to somebody this morning that know that God will see you through. Didn't know how you were going to buy that house, but somehow God did it. Against your credit, against the naysayer, but God did it. Didn't know how you were going to finish school, but against all odds, you did it anyway. Didn't know how you were going to raise that child, but against every naysayer in the world, every hater, you came through. Had it not been for the grace of God, I don't know where I would be, but God stuck with you. God says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. You can bank on God. You can believe on God. You can know that God says, I'm right there, baby. I'll even put a hedge all around you. Even though I'll take you sometimes and I'll set you in the presence of your enemies and they still can't touch you. They'll hate you and can't do nothing about it. They'll hate you and promote you at the same time. They'll hate you and pass you to the next class at the same time. They'll hate you and still be a blessing because the Shekinah glory of God that is in your life, when they look at you, they see God. And it's something about the presence of God. He came to Adam and says, Adam, where are thou? It wasn't a question as much as it was identity. Where are you? Boy, girl, man, woman, where are you? Where are you? The vision, that thing that God called you. Are you off track? Has something or someone sideline you, sidetrack you, get back in the game. Get back in the game. Get back in the game. I don't care how old you are, get back in the game. I don't care what your handicaps are, get back in the game. I don't care what you don't have, get back in the game. If God said, I'll supply all of your needs, trust it.
Yes.
Trust it. Get back in the game. When you blame what God created, you're taking issues with God. Notice this. When Adam submitted to Eve, they wasn't trying to keep up with the Joneses because they were the only family. God gave them a job. Employment or unemployment was not an issue. But yet he blamed someone else. Fellas, we gotta own this thing. We gotta own this thing. My child is your child. Your child is my child. It's about the next generation. It's about the next generation. We're going to pass it on to the next generation. The Bible declares when God blesses you, when you know that you're blessed, he says he blessed you for the second and the third generation. Your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren will be blessed because of the mark, because of the impact that you made in this life. It's not just enough for your children. It's your grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. But God called you for a time such as this. Your mother and your grandmother and your great-granddaddy couldn't read. But look at you. Master's degree, PhD. Challenge you to invest your time, talent, and treasures in the kingdom of God. Stand with me as we open the doors of the church this morning.